Yeah.
My hair is a mess.
I'm turning it so it doesn't get the the hallway behind.
Or we could slide it over or something. I don't see me going.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, great. Thank you so much for that gift yesterday, Jarlene.
Awesome. I'm so happy.
It was, I got to feed him a couple times. He's just like sleeps all the time. And she went bananas over having, like, she's FaceTimed with him, but she couldn't go to the hospital either.
Right.
So it was really, really lovely. So thank you. That was a huge gift to me. So thank you.
You're welcome. He's precious.
Huh?
He's precious. It's going to be so fun for you.
And I'm down to one day a week. So I and they live close by. In this house, it's like Kool-Aid house. You know what I mean? Like they come over, they can go out on the boat. We have a sprinkler, like a whole thing set up for her. And so it's nice. How's your family doing?
They're doing well. It's just everybody's home. So it's tricky. It's really tricky. But they're...
I'm like, maybe I should have gone to a hotel. Although yesterday was crazy, but today and tomorrow will be fine. You know, like yesterday, they were going to come here. And I'm like, I think it's best that we don't do that. So once she got up from her nap at 2:30, then we brought her home. They were so excited because they haven't seen her. I've had her, except for a few hours on Monday, I've had her since Sunday afternoon. So, hi, Bill's iPad. You can't hear yet.
Nope.
Good morning. Hi. So I thought yesterday, I was shocked. Like, I would be in the big groups, and then we would break out into, here, I'll unmute you. Bill. There you go.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
I'm cooking breakfast, so.
Ah, what are we having?
Scrambled, an omelet.
Ooh.
There we go.
Ah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because Robin and Francine don't start yet, right?
No, Robin's still downstairs asleep.
Good.
And Francine's off getting her back adjusted.
I thought the breakout rooms from the main session worked really well. You end up with all different people. So I ended up, it was me and Allison DiGeronimo and two people that were together, Jenny and Kelly. I think they're year ones. And yeah, we just go, they were like so excited because they got two teachers and it was just like, you could really, I don't know. It was nice. I enjoyed the breakouts. Then another time I had, she's a year three. She's an EIS. She's really sweet. Just glasses and brown hair.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Huh?
I know who you mean.
Yeah. I don't know her name. I should. But anyway, so like those, I love those little breakout sessions from the main group. I really like it. So
there's definitely some benefits to doing it this way.
Yeah. How far did you guys get with check-in processing yesterday?
We got through everybody. I gave them a choice between talking about the gift they got or what they got out of this year. You know, as far as a skill or a moment or an aha or anything that had come up.
Good.
And we got some really good stuff. We got through everybody. I took notes. If you want them, I can share them with you.
It may come up today because, and you know what? I think I'm going to, I'm not on my machine. I'm going to go grab my machine because this session, this laser, it can be about what was your goal at the beginning of the year and stuff. So I'll go get the Dropbox. That has, because we had those in the notes. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
set up. Almost there.
It's kind of fun, Bill.
Yeah. It's, like, it's a challenge.
It's like being on a show and having a tour of the house, you know?
Yeah. Oh, this is our new set. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw a picture of it on Facebook. It looks amazing.
Oh, looking at me. There we go. And the rug. We just got the rug.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's great. The rug brings it all together. It really makes it. We just put lights out on the deck. Little lights.
Awesome. You know,
those things. So it's turning into our nice little sanctuary.
Love it. Love it.
Since we can't go anywhere.
For a walk. My choice was shower or walk, and I picked walk.
My choice was shower.
Shower and omelet.
Mm-hmm.
Dog's out, so that they're not running through our space while we're working.
Oh, yeah. So what is that behind you, Geraldine?
It's a tapestry.
Wow.
It looks real, doesn't it?
It so does. And then every once in a while, it will just move ever so slightly. I'm like, oh, my God, that's beautiful.
I have the nature ones on the other wall, but they were like 2 foot or something. And I'm like, well, what would I want to, you know, it's a screened-in porch. It's old. It's like, you know, it came with the house. God knows when they built it. The problem with it is if you want to put any kind of nice furniture out to sit on, all the weather comes right through. Like there's no apron around the outside. So we have a lot of those sideways storms, you know?
Yeah.
So I put that ugly plastic on most of the outside of it. It doesn't look very pretty, but you can be out here in the winter if you wanted to with my little heater. And so I'm like, I don't want to look at plastic. What do I, you know? So when you showed me the tapestries, I bought one. And then the second one, I didn't hang it until yesterday.
So no way. It looks great. I love it.
I looked down and I looked behind me and I'm like, the light was coming through. It was all distorted. And I was like, I got to put something behind me. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I know those tapestries are awesome, huh? Hey, Reese. Good morning. Oh, you're muted. Sorry. There you go. Good morning.
Morning.
I thought yesterday went really smoothly, huh?
Yeah. Zoom has saved the world from itself.
No shit, huh? They should win like the Nobel Peace Prize, Zoom.
I know. Is this working?
Yeah.
You hear that? That's making noise?
Yeah.
Okay.
So did you get my text, Reese? Jonathan and Wendy, it's super early there, so I thought we would skip them and do them tomorrow at lunch.
Fine with me. Are they?
They're going to try and come. That's Wendy right there, right? I think. Oh, and there's Jonathan. They said they'd come and just be in the background or sleeping or whatever. But they're both here. 509, that's Wendy, right?
Yeah, that's Wendy. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. I know Wendy's on West Coast. Where's Jonathan?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica is?
Two hours
difference?
2 hours difference. Still, where's my
omelet? It's over there. Can't reach it. Yeah, I had to move out. The sun was too much.
Yeah. If my internet would work, I'd go and sit in front of the river. It's so pretty.
Yeah. You have to get an extender. Put it down there.
Yeah. Reese, Geraldine covered for me for a little bit yesterday, so I got to go meet my grandson.
Oh, nice.
Exciting. Nice.
How was that?
Amazing, Reese. You know, like, I know there's so much craziness in the world, but my COVID has been fantastic. I've had the best COVID. Like, like I look and I'm like, oh my God, think about pollution in China. Like, it can be solved in a month. Like, there's all these miracles happening, you know? And we moved, and the house is like a Kool-Aid house, so everyone keeps coming over. We, like, just our little family, but we have barbecues every weekend, and I've had Gracie, like, 3 days a week. I've had her for, like, the last week since they've been in the hospital, because we couldn't go. So she met her brother. When Geraldine covered for me, I brought her home, and she met her brother. Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome until she figures out what that means. She's no longer the center of the universe. Then maybe not so awesome. But it was cute yesterday. But anyways.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That is a big shock for the older child.
Mine were 8 years apart, so I didn't really have – it wasn't that big of a deal. The closer they are, I think the worse.
Okay. So what did your group decide you wanted to check in on this morning?
So what we're doing is like kind of like what's the goal? How what was your goal for the year? How'd the year go? Kind of thing.
Yep.
What's next?
Yep.
And then how that relates to the inner light point, I think is what we decided.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, grab your charts. Know your inner light point, guys.
All right, give me a minute. I have it. I knew where it is.
We keep interrupting Bill's breakfast. Is the other Bill here? All right. That's Judy. Is Allison 503?
Yeah.
Okay. Allison, yay. Woo! And then we're just waiting on Bill Schuler. But, you know. Oh, wait a minute. You guys are muted. Sorry. I'll unmute you.
I think they have to unmute themselves, right?
No, you just send this little invite. Did you get it, Sam?
Or star six, too.
Huh?
Or if we hit star six, we can mute and unmute, too.
Okay. So 509. So that's... So that you should be getting a message about unmuting if you want to.
Ooh.
I'm staying muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, great.
I had the sound off on my thing. Couldn't figure that out.
Judy, you want to stay muted?
Yeah, I can unmute myself.
Okay, fine. Let me just nudge. Wendy. Bill Schuler, overslept. I'm going to be a little late. Wendy, I will be muted and semi-awake. Yeah, so she wanted to stay muted. Okay.
Reminds me of my house in the morning with all my teenagers.
So okay, great. Let's just start while we're waiting for Bill to come on and do this stuff. We can just start with what was your I played the chords yesterday, which tend to take you a little bit deeper, a little bit more. Did anybody have any experiences on the meditation last night, or even during sort of like the kind of like, you know, we're using the evening meditation as kind of like a review of the year? How did that go? Was there anything in there that you wanted to have a question on, or you wanted to share?
Yeah, I guess. I had a question about one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was it? Let me bring it up. On goal six, which was chakra five, the first image I had was like a golden mist blowing across my face, but the feeling around it was wariness, being on guard, fearful that something is going to jump out from an unknown direction.
Yep.
So...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a mist in front of your face?
A golden mist blowing against my face, and then that feeling around it, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, we know your history with, you know, with your mom and all, yeah. And, Yeah, that's where you've pretty much learned your language. And you know, anybody who's, you know, as sort of powerful and controlling as your mom, when they talk, they create like a, you know, create like a smoke screen. It's a fog, right? It's like, these aren't the drones you're looking for, you know, that type of thing. And so the fifth chakra, you know, when people are telling a story, you know, it feels like there's a fog here. There's something missing here. There's, you know, and it's dangerous. Even though it's normal for people to do that. It's like, it's so, you know, it's so, you know, the media these days, it's like nobody even cares about lying. You know, it's not even a matter. It doesn't matter what media outlet you're going for. It's just like whatever our corporate sponsors are, that's the truth. And that's now the new reality. That's a new truth in the world, is that it doesn't matter what the truth is. It's pretty much established. There is no truth that's important other than what I'm saying. And so that's as for a leader and for a charismatic leader, for you, learning your voice and how to speak, you know, it's dangerous, you know, to do that, to speak through you cut through the fog is a dangerous thing, because people really prefer the lie.
Okay. Thanks.
It's just easier. The lie is so easy. The truth means you have to actually do something in your life. And so you're trying to do something in your life. You're really trying to step up. And you know, and I think that the sense of when you feel that same uneasiness that you felt in that, when that bowl played, that's the time to know that you're being lied to.
Okay.
You know, in some way, and you need to create a clarity at that point.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, so the fear, that fear, fifth chakra, what was your take on it?
I was trying to, I guess my interpretation was more self-focused, and I was thinking, well, if gold is kind of in color of the soul, then if my soul is trying to speak, then that's a scary thing for me to do. So I guess that's a similar interpretation.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about you. I'm just saying that you were brought up in an environment where there was a lot of fog, and you know, it's like, you know, that's that. But you're trying to get more clarity in your. Mm-hmm. If you're a charismatic leader, your whole goal in life is to develop a direct way of sharing with, you know, a way of being really clear on what you're really delivering.
All right, thank you.
I don't know who's making noise. All right, so that's so. So yeah, but it's the fear in it. Sorry. The fear in it was really what you're after.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else have anything from the bowls that you wanted to sort of like? Wow, I had that really stood out.
Reese, I have like I usually get little flashes of stuff, and so they're kind of unusual. So the one that kind of was extra confusing was. So it was the third chakra bowl. I saw eyebrows and then got like the impression of vision or seeing. And then there was some lower back pain that was low down into the top of my butt. And then I saw like a fan. It was a purple and blue like fan that you would wave with your hand. And that was
like a fan, like a,
yeah,
like a hand fan, like a woman would be.
Yep.
And he's a purple and blue.
Yeah.
Oh man. So eyebrows, what were they doing?
Just like literally, it was almost like it was a eyebrows on a strip of something that it was, they weren't moving or anything like that. It was just like almost like a ribbon.
Okay. So looking at the sixth chakra, and eyebrows are also, it's like, you know, metaphorically, people are always raising their eyebrows like, really?
Right.
Really? So that was what I was saying. If you were seeing them doing something specifically, but something about the eyebrows, you know, it's a very expressive kind of like, you know, part of your body. But it's also, the eyebrow is also right at the third eye. Lower back is usually something around money. So your third chakra actions, like who you are now individually in the world. And it raises eyebrows, it causes your lower back pain. And what was, and then the fan.
I do declare.
Right. Right. So the fan is purple and what?
Blue.
Purple and blue. So you have the sixth. So it's sixth and fifth chakra. You're like, are trying to fan, you know, kind of trying to help you. I don't know. Is there a little skepticism right now and sort of like where you're going in your life?
The only skepticism would be that things are going really good right now. I'm not used to that. I mean, the only probably tension in my life is still with my relationship, but we're seeing a marriage counselor now.
Okay.
And that's been really good. Like the first few sessions were like, meh, whatever. And the guy didn't really understand me or that I wasn't a typical guy.
Yep.
And, but this last one was phenomenal. It was like a little mini class weekend almost as far as mom issues go. But everything else seems to be good. The job is great. I have free time. I've been pursuing some, you know, more spiritual stuff. I have time for that. I've been doing wacky hobbies, you know, that I flip back and forth from all the time.
Nice.
So generally there's no disruption or major drama in the family.
Nice. The fan's cute. It's kind of like, I think it's, you know, chakra six and seven are now bringing you like a fresh view, like a fresh air. You know, it's like, you know, interesting. Jonathan got fog. You got a little fan. You know, it's a lot of something. It's like, yeah. You know, some new, you know, the air around you, you're breathing in. And so, you know, it seems like the, I don't know what the eyebrows seem, it's more like the eyebrows are always, you know, when you look at people's eyebrows, there's always some kind of like they're kind of looking at you, you know, it's like they look, you know, they're very, you know, they're very sort of, piercing in a way when the way people, you know, if I'm looking at you like this, or I'm going like this, or I'm, you know, it's like eyebrows are sort of like, that's like, you're getting watched. I think what it sounds like is like if you just keep letting your upper chakras, your creative idealist sort of just go, oh, you know, I'm sort of getting a breath of fresh air here, thank God, finally. You know, and that other stuff, the heaviness, the lower back pain, which is all, you know, the sort of like grounding, all that stuff is that's sort of letting go. So I like that idea. But that was all third chakra. So that's your, how your third chakra's sort of like dealing. It's like, what if I'm moving beyond this stuff? What if it's like I'm getting a little bit of fresh air here from some creativity?
You know what I was just thinking when you were talking about the eyebrows is they kind of add an emphasis to whatever the person is doing,
right?
Whatever emotion they're trying to get across, they're kind of like giving it that extra oomph. So maybe that's part of it too.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah. So it's all metaphor, but it's kind of fun. And most importantly, how did you feel when it played?
I don't remember. I was more into the visual aspect of it.
Really? Yeah. You're like our feeler in the group here. I didn't even notice.
I flip-flop. It was cool.
Yeah. No, so, and it's not, nothing matter with the visuals, but it's also, you know, you want to, there's those, even if you think about them now and visualize what the fan was, each one of those create some kind of an emotional connection. If the brain's just trying to analyze them, like we were kind of like finding, how do those link? How do we do this? This is kind of a fun thing we do, but it's more importantly, there's a feeling around what that fan meant. There's a feeling in that lower back. there's a feeling in those eyebrows, you know, whose eyebrows were they? How, you know, were they man's eyebrows, woman's eyebrows? You know, what were they doing? That kind of thing. It's like, oh, you know, and so when you're doing inner work, you definitely want to relate it to the emotion if you can, even if the emotion's subtle, you know, and the visual's entertaining. No?
Great, thanks.
All right. Anybody else? Anything on that before we start our check in, check out? How's everybody feeling about the last weekend here?
Better than anticipated.
I wasn't talking about the online. I was just talking about just like the year kind of finishing up. You know, it's like you... Yeah.
Absolutely necessary. I need to get out of 6th and 7th. I just so spacey. It's not. I can't keep myself here.
Well, so I've noticed that too. But like I'm like digging the spaciness kind of thing because. So Bill, we were talking about, you know, being out in nature and all that stuff during our healing, and like that. Kind of spaciness, I think, if it's the same kind of thing that you're talking about, like it allows me to not be stuck, you know, here, kind of like, so when I go outside and I can feel the breeze and I can see the animals and hear all the noises, it allows me to kind of like just integrate into that. You know, it's not so great at work or when you're having a conversation, but in that situation, it like kind of makes me become more one with everything as stereo or, you know, as whatever that sounds.
How's everybody else doing on that too? Because this is one of the elements of COVID has been that, you know, the sort of the foundation of what we think we are, who we think we are, how we think the world is going to operate and continue to operate, which is just always a massive assumption, has been pretty much dismantled. It's all bets are off. It's like, it's the Wild West again out there. And so there's going to be some freedom in you somewhere and some nervousness, you know, that puts you more into thinker. Cause at this point, you know, if you're not in some way kind of going, whoa, what does this actually mean? You know, you've got to get that. So when a child, when you get afraid, you'll notice that the eyes get bigger. It's like, so when the energy moves up into the upper chakras because of things are changing, there's possible fear here. You know, the eyes get bigger because the system's shutting down here to sort of decide whether it's fight or flight, and everything goes into up here. Well, it also sort of after a while, it just sort of keeps you sort of up in this sort of like, I'm going to hold judgment here until something happens, until something can, you know, I can relate to, you know, something again, I can ground myself in this. But remember, what you're grounding yourself on is external, illusion, right? And so this sort of like higher kind of spacey place that you're at, look at it as an opportunity to sort of say, what do I really want to ground myself to coming back? You know, which is what the whole program's about. It's like, what if I could ground myself to what's inside of me rather than, okay, finally my job's back, my relationship's back, my, you know, I've got this sort of stuff. And so, you know, Bill, you're talking about, you've got a lot of things shifting. I'm sure as I check in with everybody here, everybody's got a lot of things shifting. Which is just natural, but at the same time, the brain is constantly trying to this configuration didn't work. Okay, we're gonna, you know, it's like this. And you're like, whoa, and you come up, and you're like, ooh, and there's a little spaciness there, but your brain's still just waiting to reconfigure it and then make it solid again, so you don't have to worry. You know, and that's why the comfort with uncertainty, you know, is such a, it's like a great little reminder, you know, that the embracing of change is, it's like, You know, change is something you don't have to worry about, because it's always going to happen. You know, and so learning how to really, what, you know, I was talking about the six levels of mastery. The values one, which would be like the after you've worked on your emotions and your feelings and your chakras, and you really feel what you want and desire, really having sort of like a really strong level of standards around your value. What do I value the most? That's what grounds me. And if I don't, you know, I don't understand my, you know, the value, or my value is I want security, I want to protect my family, I want to do this, and I want to, all these externals. Very difficult time, you know, sort of like you'll keep writing yourself and then falling off and writing yourself. And what we ultimately want to have as you're moving through this program is we want to have you, you know, what does it look like for you to be sort of like, you know, enjoying? And I love, you know, Bill, you know, you shared there, you know, I love that you're sort of like, it sounds like you're enjoying your life a lot more, you know, and the only place you can get that from, it isn't from and maybe the world seems to behave better, but it's more of the sort of like, I've just decided I'm going to enjoy this process rather than, because it's my value. My value is enjoying the process. Other people are fixers. It's like, my value is fixing the process. And the other people, you know, some are like, my value is just like, whatever. But each of you have got to find that basic soul kind of way you deal with yourself. And then change isn't as big a deal. For me, I just like has triggered this massive sort of like, wow, I can totally redesign myself again, you know, which is what I'm constantly doing, but this is, it's just another excuse to do it. And I'm realizing, oh, I'm using it as an excuse rather than just saying, I constantly love to redesign myself. I constantly like to redesign things as we go. So let's keep going. Who else? What else is going on? How about the, you know, what does it feel like in your life? Judy? Deb? Either one?
Careful, Judy's a swearer.
I'll go. I'm enjoying my fucks this weekend. So I did the same thing, like, because I had to shut my business down, and I had been closed for 15 weeks. And I got to reopen a little bit last week. And in the beginning, I was just imagining what would happen if I closed. And then I realized I had this huge opportunity, because there's this like hard stop and reset. So I took some time and found a good coach, and I started working with her 2 weeks ago, and we're trying to reimagine my business so that I can sort of relaunch it in the fall.
And nice.
So I'm staying at a slow open instead of going right back to where I was, because some of my clients are, you know, can't you open everything? And I don't know if Charlie Baker would let me anyway, but I'm really excited about it, because in the past I sort of siloed all my services, you know, that you can do this or this or this. And we're trying to come up with something that's, you know, where my services are my tools instead of my services. And my service is more spiritual and mental and physical, kind of, this is how we're going to help you change. And these are the tools we're going to use to change you. So I'm very excited about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, but it must have been, I mean, especially for, you know, someone with such a strong, knowledgeable achiever, it must have been shocking to sort of have to shut down your business and not have that as your daily, you know, your daily ritual and discipline.
It was shocking. Yeah. I mean, on a Saturday, I wrote an email to my client saying, you know, we're small, we can keep going, it'll be fine. And by Sunday, I'd been convinced that social distancing was really important, and I just closed it before Charlie Baker told me to close. So I just, So, I mean, things are changing rapidly right now, right? And you have to be able to take in new information, but you have to take it in carefully, because there's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah. I mean, the what's out there is just the fact that the world's changing the way it is. Everybody's going to have a story and a spin on it. The only one that counts is yours.
Yeah.
Only one that counts is yours, and what you deliver and how you deliver it, and and how you present yourself in the world after this, because before this, there was a, you know, at the world level, at the consciousness level, there was a level of business as usual. We don't care that we aren't being told the whole big picture. We're still in this, surviving, and we've got this, sadly, we all have hope. It's like we all have hope. And as long as we have hope, we can go out and do it again and go out and do it again. And then something like this, makes you sort of look at your mortality, look at the sort of like the, is there even hope for the planet? Is there even hope for humanity? And then you realize it doesn't really matter at that level. It matters in here. I have to do my part. And that's it. That's all it's all anybody's ever been able to do. And so for some people, that part is then sharing with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, new ways of doing things, how to think, how to, whatever it is, or a small business or whatever it is. But it sounds like you're taking all the things you've been working on the inside and saying, who is Judy really? Because she's not just a hard worker. That's what's been the problem. It's like, you've struggled with this. I have to mother everybody, and it's what you're good at, and you're great at it. But basically, it's a big job to be responsible for everybody's lives, and rather than being more of a spiritual guide, which is more your natural ability, where it's lighter, where it's sort of like I'm offering you these opportunities, and you can take these, and then I'm also offering this higher level of stuff that's actually just fun for me, and that's really the the bottom line is, that's why I was saying about the mastery things. It goes in that order. You got to figure your body out. If you don't have your body out figured out, everything else is going to be a struggle. Then you got to figure out your emotions, because when your body's in better shape, you're going to be able to manage those emotions. You're going to be able to feel them more. And then that leads to the, that awareness of, when I'm really feeling who I am, I want to spend my time doing this in my life, not these other things. And of course, then it's like how you want to be with people. So then that's your relationships and how you love in those relationships. And then your business is sort of the outcropping of that love. And if you're in business and you're not doing what you love to do in business, that you haven't done the mastery parts of the other elements of it. And so now you're getting much more comfortable, and I see you, over the last couple of years, you've sort of been like, okay, I'm like, there's a struggle, there's a resistance to it. And then there's like, oh yeah, I got to do that. And so it goes back and forth, and it's kind of like getting that place where it's like that non-resistance place, that's my value. And you can offer that. That's really what the people come to you for. They don't come to you to be sort of like, slave labor and I have to help you and I'm always going to be there. They come to you because they need some of that peace inside too. So I like that. That's really great, Judy. Yeah. I'm sorry your business had to close down for so long, and I hope that you're financially whole.
Very stressful. It's been very stressful. The way the government allocated money was not exactly, it should have been bottom up, really. It should have been like, who's going to fail first? But like, it was, I know people.
It never, who, oh my God.
Who don't need money, who got gazillions of it. So, I got enough to cover my rent for 3 months. So,
hey.
See what happens after that, right?
Nice. And you can probably, like you said, you can open small amount, and just whatever you figure out your bills and just do that much business until you figure out the new plan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. It
did really shake me, at my foundation when I had to close, like the whole, everything about it shook me, because I just was like, I was appalled at the government response, and I was it was like somebody stole my feet out from under me, really.
Right, pulled the rug out from under you. Yeah, that's
very difficult.
I mean, and that's for everybody, but I really think that was why I mentioned that. It's like your identity was so caught in your business.
Yes.
You know, like who you were was your business. And in a way, you know, you're a career business person. You have, and this is a big, it's a big piece of your life. We talk about your primary relationships, you know, being like 70% of your energy and, you know, 30% of your energy, you know, comes from your business. It's, you know, as you do this mastery work and you're really sort of like integrating relationships, the relationships you're having here, the kinds of these kind of relationships with your primary relationship, with your business, it all kind of blends together, you know, but as an achiever, that business represented sort of like an ideal for you. And now you get a chance to, and it's really hard to break an ideal, you know, once you've got one, it's like, that's the ideal, right? That's what I'm doing the good. I'm doing good in the world. I'm doing good for people. And that becomes a really strong identity. And when that got taken away, and even, I mean, everybody's dealing with that in some way. When I was, I literally, you know, a month ago, I was like, I think I have to just have an online school. You know, it's like, which is like, wow, that's like a whole nother, you know, I can't even imagine that because I love this, you know, the connection piece. But there's an identity in that, and for you, it's even stronger. At least for me, I'm a thinker. I'm like, I'm not even that, not always, you know, even that present with what I am doing. But for you, there's such a groundedness to that place, and to not have it have you really felt like you've had more time to sort of like ground inside?
Well, recently I have felt like that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I didn't even go to my studio for about 8 weeks. So, and the plants show that, but, when I walked in, it felt different. It felt very different. So I know a shift happened. So,
yeah. So noticing those subtle things, like you used to walk in before and it wasn't like you weren't walking in. It was like, it was just it, that you never left it.
Yeah.
Right. So you would go home.
I was never that worried about if I had to close the business. I was because I was confident I could just reinvent myself somehow. Yep. But I didn't see any of the possibilities until recently. Then I was like, well, I mean, I saw some possibilities, but recently I was like, oh, I get this, you know. And I we'll see what happens, but maybe I'll resist the coach. But
just what you were talking about, going in and noticing that it wasn't. All of a sudden there was a separation between the two of you.
Yeah.
There's me and my business now. And I think before my sense with you was that you and your business never disconnected.
I don't know.
You know, because that's part of the identity of it. And now you'll be able to look at it more objectively. Like you said, reinventing yourself. You know, if I had to reinvent myself, how would I do that? You know, and for me, I you know, I immediately decided I was going to do that 30-day program, which I'm still working on the marketing to get that, you know, that set. And I'm going to continue to do more of that because I was like, I can deliver a lot of I can deliver a lot of value even online, you know, that I not having the time to do it or not taking the time. School takes up so much time, you know, so like it gave me a distance from what I was doing. And then a realization that, yeah, that's really, you know, it's been calling me for a while. I kind of know that, but I needed that sort of like, whoa, the business, I need some separation from that. And what if I had to pick something to do? Well, that would be, if I made two or three of those programs every year and just sold those online, that would be because I still connect with people. It would be good. And then I could just do retreats, you know, and just have like a week long retreat type of thing. So it's sort of like my brain was thinking, but it gave me a separation from what's just daily grinding. And I think it's an amazing opportunity, like you said.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks.
All right. How about everybody else? Where are you on that? We haven't heard from Deb. Deb, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. I got sick again. So I'm not sure. We were talking about it yesterday in class and why I'm manifesting that, and we came up with some ideas. But
what kind of sick?
Well, I get a fever and really tired, a sore throat and everything, and I've happened to me so many times, and they can't figure out. They take all kinds of blood tests, and I even went to Patty Zub, and nobody can figure out why it's happening. So I figure I'm creating it somehow. But while I was sick, I do a prayer every morning, and I ask my guide, you know, that I hear my guides more and more each day. And I have been hearing them more. And they've been talking to me and basically talking to me about how I use my time. And it was kind of an inspiration for me when Bill Shuler shared with us how he was having more time and what he was using his time for. I mean, he was taking care of his family, but he was also getting into some of the energy things that he enjoys so much. And I'm thinking, I kind of am in a rut with things that I do routinely that I could be using my time in a better way. I'd like to really kind of brush up on some of the past healings I've learned and really just put everything together. And I'm not sure that I want to have a business, but even if I just work on people and friends and family, I would like to be using that. And I've just been getting so many nudges about what I'm doing and what I should be doing. So that's been, maybe it was having to be sick and be still to hear them, my guides. And so I'm looking at life a lot different now. So
and how, when did the this sort of cold type of thing start?
About 3 weeks ago.
About how long?
I've been taking some homeopathic things and I didn't get the fever that I usually get.
How long ago did it start? I mean, how long did the whole pattern start? So when we're dealing with things energetically, we want to know point of onset. When did you first start having those symptoms?
About 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Reese, do you mean in life? Like what year? Yeah. How many years?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, is this like, is this a pattern that's revolving? Like 2 years, I've been doing this for years. This happens to me year after year after year. Or
it happened to me a number, I mean, like maybe 10 times.
And 10 times over what period of time?
Well, it started when we moved up to Massachusetts. In New Jersey, I got where for a whole month, I was just so tired, I could hardly move. And then when we moved up to Massachusetts in 98, I just had trouble, with this. I got pneumonia a few times, and then I'd start getting this where I'd get sick, but they couldn't figure out what it was. So it's happened quite a few times, but then
How many years has this been going on?
Happened in June.
It's always in June, you said, Deb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's always in June, and can you relate, as we do the,
Well, we were talking about last night, and it kind of hit me. We do take care of our grandsons some. Well, since COVID, my son and his ex-wife decided that he would have them for 3 days and she would have them for 3 days. But my son was able to continue his work with Zoom and everything. So he'd go to work every day to his gym. And so all of a sudden, my husband and I are babysitting a lot more than we used to. Nobody asked us if we were in for this, it was just like, okay, you're going to have them 3 days, So if it's a weekend, Mike works half day on Saturday. So he has them Sunday and stuff. But yep. During the week, if they're here, we have them 3 days in a row. And it's just, they're at the age that they get kind of bored and they'd rather be home with their friends and, with their family. And, so I was saying it's just kind of gotten to be too much. Hmm. And I don't know if this is my way of rebelling or what. And so I think what I have to do is really sit down and talk and speak my truth to myself.
Yeah. I think that'll help. I think it's, you know, if we're talking, you know, let's just look at our, at where we are in the, you know, if you looked at your body's telling you that something's not right in the system. Okay. So let's just start, you know, we just talked, we're just going to talk about these six mastery concepts, right? For each one of you, it's like, look at your life. Where are those things working? How much time do you spend on your fitness?
When I broke my wrist, of course, I wasn't doing anything. And maybe a little bit of walking, but not very much. And then I started feeling sick. And so that was another thing. It was just like I was getting all these hits. You got to start exercising. So I have been. This week I started doing some warm-up exercises, a little weight, and some yoga, and some I do the Donna Eden daily routine because it's real simple and it really gets the energy going. And so I've been really doing that kind of stuff, and I do feel better. I do.
Okay. What do you think about, I mean, you could talk to Judy about this. What do you think about going to the gym?
Well, I usually go to my son's gym twice a week.
I go to her son's gym too.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So then trying to build up your wind, like trying to build up your, like do the bike, but don't just do the bike. Do the bike, you know, do what I find Mercola talked a lot about this, you know, how to build the system up, sort of peak, he calls them peak eights. It's like 30 seconds on intense, 90 seconds off, 30 seconds on, just 8 times. And cycling and whether it be, you know, anything, exercising, swimming. How about swimming for you? It's like, my sense is that there's a part of you that doesn't feel like you get a choice in your life.
I do feel that. And I do, usually my neighbors and I walk for 3 miles. And we do that, and it's social too, it's fun. But I get out and do that, you know, a lot of days. I haven't lately, but I will. But that, see, that's how I fell down, because I was out by myself walking and fell on the ice. But
well, you know, life, there are dangers out there. Every time you run into a danger, if it makes you shut down more and more, you have less and less. And
right.
So it's like you broke your wrist and now it's better. Okay. So it's like, rather than saying, oh my God, I got to not break my wrist again. It's like, hey, even when I broke my wrist, I fixed that. I can fix anything. And when you start, cause I think what's happening is over time, there's a part of you that's sort of like, I have less and less power to control my life. It's sort of like, and of course that illness goes along with it. It's like, I get sick and, you know, maybe you have some form of allergies, some sort of food allergies or something that people haven't figured out yet that's triggering that what's going on. But you need a body, you know, you just want to say, let's start with the body. Okay. One, am I really pushing my body to be stronger than it was yesterday? Not just as good as it was yesterday. This is the key with fitness. You need to make your body better than yesterday.
Right.
Okay. And you have to think that way rather than I'm on the maintenance plan now. I'm on the slow decline strategy now in my workouts. That's not a good one. Okay. You got to push yourself to be better than you were yesterday. And of course, we're, you know, as we get older, that better than yesterday looks different than yesterday.
Well, actually, I do feel good that way, because I feel like I can do a lot for my age. And like, even when I play golf, I'm from working out at the gym, I hit the ball further than I ever did. And people are saying, well, I can't hit as far as I used to because I'm older. And I'm thinking, but I'm hitting further and I am older. You know, and it's kind of like, and then the women at the gym, I keep up with a lot of them. And the girl says, I want to be like you when I grow up, you know, and stuff. Right.
Get in that Zumba class, do that shit, whatever, do the, you know, all the different types of power and everything, do all that stuff. And then, when, as you're, so see how you just talked right now?
Yeah.
That's emotional control. When you started talking, you had no control over your emotion. Your emotion was running you. Your emotion was, I'm broken. Your body was listening. And right. If you talk from that enough, your body will create what you, you know, whatever your voice says you are, whatever your body says you are, you are. And so now you were just saying, no, I'm keeping up. I'm like, if I'm doing this, I'm, and you, and now your voice raised, your emotions raised. You, this is, mastery is not that hard. It's yeah. just sort of recognizing that everything counts. There are these six things I got to have in my life. And my spiritual practice for you is just, is saying, even when you're sick, you're like, this isn't going to last.
Right.
Right. It's not, doctors can't even figure it out. I'm fucked. You know, it's, it can't even be that. It can't even cross your mind that that's a reality. You have a unique illness to you. Doctor, listen, my thing with doctors is they don't know anything about anything. They just know categories of problems. You can be put in a category of problems. Their job is set yeah. for life. But mm-hmm. your division of that, the way you get sick, is completely unique to you, completely unique to your life. And it's really dependent on these energetic levels. And even if, you know, it's like, you know, I had a hernia surgery and now it's sort of put me back, you know, and then I'm like, and then I was working out. I was so like, I can't not, you know, work out. And, you know, so I started working out really, really hard and then I put my back out. I was like, oh fuck. And then that was like, you know, so I overdid that. And now I'm back and I'm like, there is no time to waste, right? And as soon as I start working out again and doing the physical thing, then my emotions get better. But my emotions had to stay all the way along. It's like, okay, I'm putting up with this, and I'm you know, and listen, I'm a terrible patient, but because I'm always like, why another day? Why is this thing? I know it's going to go away. Why didn't you just go away today? You know, it's like pissing me off. That's like come on, immune system, you can freaking kick this thing. So for you, that what you just did was you just did the first two pieces. And if you every day do something that's like, you know, even if you just have like little weights, you know, I've got my little weights over here. If I'm not doing, I'm just like doing my weights or doing some my little bungee cords or something, just like, because I remind myself, body has to feel great. And when I feel great, I'm going to talk great. When I talk great, I will create great. Okay. And then I'll choose the things I want. And like you said, you're worried about this discussion with your son. It's like, if you had all the energy in the world and you manage your emotions, you would have that conversation, not from a perspective of, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do this. I don't want to, you know, ruin my own life. I don't want to, you know, it's just sort of like, let's talk because this isn't working.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. And it's not like it can't work, but it's not working the way it is. And when I'm in my energy, now I can create a solution. When I'm not in my energy, I recreate the old patterns. So I think, so maybe the illness pattern is the same sort of thing. There's kind of like a fear that there's, you know, something in the background, and there was something in the background, this basic management of your emotions.
Yeah.
Deb, it was like Reese mentioned, you know, that your energy level changed, but I think it was kind of dramatic actually when you started talking about all those physical successes and how other people see you. I mean, it seemed like there was like a kind of shift where it was so much different than when you were talking about getting sick.
Yeah.
So, and Reese, one of the things, like I watched this TED talk or whatever, and it was this woman who I really like because her name sounds like Cuddle, but.
What's her name?
It's Cuddy. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's Cuddle. But anyway, okay. She talks about, and this is kind of like, I guess we could call it bioenergetics, but she was talking about body language and how, like, even in the school, we're talking about, you know, profiles and what the body looks like and how they move and all that stuff. But her perspective is that your body language define, like, it affects you, like you were just saying. So there was a study that she participated in where they were doing chemical tests, you know, to test people's testosterone and all that stuff. And they found that in just 2 minutes, if you do the Wonder Woman pose, Or yep. if you do like the universal, like, yes, kind of thing for just 2 minutes, it raises your testosterone, it drops your cortisol, and they're able to prove it over and over again. And one of the things about the, you know, the universal hands in the air and chin up thing is like blind people who've never been able to see in their lives, when they succeed at something, they'll do the same thing. It's like this instinctual yeah. movement. But I've been doing that in the morning. Like, I'll just stand in front of the mirror like Wonder Woman and kind of like survey the day and all that stuff, and then just
that,
do a bunch
that could
of,
also be Superman, right?
They call it the Wonder Woman. Oh, no, no. Gotta recognize everybody. But anyway.
Maybe that's where the fan is coming from.
All right, so just so everybody knows, I have to go in like 2 minutes. And yeah. we haven't heard from Allison yet or Bill. We're gonna do more tomorrow, but you get that, Deb, right? You just did what you need to do to heal that illness.
Okay.
That was it. And you can do that about your with your son. You can go, you know how old I am, right? You know, I kick ass with your, you know, with, I take care of the kids. I have no problem with that. I do all this stuff. This is great. You know, but I want some of that energy for me. I want some more of that, you know, that I, you know, I can do this, but I don't want to have to, in a way, or whatever it is. I want to set a boundary here.
Yeah. Boundary. Okay.
So coming from that place is a very different place from, like Bill said, come from here.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll do that with a group this morning. I'll go, okay, everybody.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, sorry. We'll do that as the exercise in a few minutes.
Well, my creator meditation, that Wonder Woman comes up for me a lot. She's all in yellow, and she's got her hands on her hips,
nice.
And that comes up for me a lot. And that's the one I'm doing now with my health, and it's got a white aura around it. So nice. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
All right. So why don't we Allison, what did you want to work on for tomorrow?
Well, I started this challenge where I'm walking 10 miles a week to potentially win $6,000. And it's super fun. And Wendy inspired me. Hey, I needed a win to get my butt moving. So my goal for tomorrow is to walk at least 3 miles.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. So you're doing the physical stuff. That's good. And just everything I said to Deb. Get to the gym, lift weights, do let your body know that it's not just like one thing I do. Walking's great, but it's like, you know, Pilates one day, Zumba the next day. The more you vary what you do, the better. Now, I know that we're starting off with this, and God knows if there's a $6,000 pot at the end of the walk, you know, that's even better and a good incentive. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So you're working on that. And then we can continue on with that. But yes, looking for each one of you, look at the six things. You know, the body, the emotions, the values, the relationships, the career, and your spiritual practice. Where right now is there a weakness in that piece? And those are all essential things. We have a life mastery training program. You guys are in year four, and those pieces have got to be, start seeing, oh yeah, any of those are off, I'm off. You know, it's got to come into balance. Those six pieces have got to be there. And, let's see, we just talked to Jonathan about his thing.
Yeah.
So that counted as my share for
No. I mean, we'll go through. We'll get everybody. So tomorrow, let each one of you. I want you to pick something that you really want to sort of like dig into. Like this of those six things. Where do you feel like you need where's the balance point? Where do you need to really focus in more? Okay. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. So as you're working as a team, let's work on that. And then tomorrow we'll get through everybody. Okay. I think Judy and Deb, I think we got those two, and then we'll get everybody else tomorrow. But let's get clear on what you know, where you are on this and what's happening. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I got to go start the other.
Grant, stay on for 1 minute. Bye, Reese. Yep. We'll see you in a sec. Okay. Hey, so we go to the big room.
Yep.
After the big room, we go after the big room, there's a small break, right? And then approximately 10:45, we're going to do pandemic. I thought that might be like a really good one to do. My understanding is that, so we'll go to year three. So does everyone have the email with the links, right? So we're going to go to year three. We're not going to be in the grad room. And then what I've heard, and I haven't heard the final, is they're going to kick off the conversation, and then we're going to go into small group. When we go into small group, it might be that we go together, but one of the ideas that Ellen and Arden had that I thought was really cool is that you guys will get mixed in or two small groups or whatever, and you may have a different facilitator. Geraldine, I didn't even tell you this, sorry. I just found out from Ellen the other day, you and I may facilitate small groups that have year threes in it. And then from what I understand, we'll then come back together in year three links. So just make sure you have your links. So it's, we're here in grad, we're gonna go to the main room, and then we'll go to year three. And then from there, we'll figure out what they want us to do, whether grads are gonna be a separate processing group. But I thought it might be kind of cool because I'd love it if they just mix this in. I'm enjoying that. I don't know about you guys, but when we're in the main group and then they put us into the small group, you never know who you're going to be with. And I really have enjoyed that. And I've been able to, you know, get to meet people I wouldn't normally meet. And you guys are the grads, so you can be really contributing. Bill Schuler, I was so psyched to hear you contributing to the processing last night in the big group. I'm like, yes, there's our Bill. So, and then after all of that, at 12:30 to 2, there's a possibility that they're going to do the, that Reese is going to be with year one and do the profiles. Now, my gut feel on that is, you know, if you guys just want to link in and, you know, and put your picture up and not participate, that's fine. I think this is a long day for us because we started 8. So if you guys want to go to the, I don't even know if he's doing it. There's question marks on the agenda. So I will ask him and find out. But from 12:30 to 2, you may want to go into the year one link if you want to do the profile. And then at 2, that's the next time we're back in the grad, okay? And when we come back to the grad from 2 to 3, we're going to do power, purpose, and business. And when we do that, I'll do like a mini intro, but then bring examples. So bring examples of knowledgeable achiever and rule keeper situations in your business or whatever that you would like to process. If we don't have any rule keeper, knowledgeable achiever ones, we can, which, I mean, please, they're a problem. So we should have those. We can do whatever you guys want if you have other examples. I know that Allison had some ones that she's been wanting to process. So do you kind of get a feel for the day, right? Then we'll have another break. Then we go in with year three again at 3:15. And then we're back in the grad room at 4. And then there's a break. And then 5 to 5:30 is Crystal Bowl. So you guys are going to be in a lot of different rooms. If you're unsure, everyone have their cell phones, just text us. And we'll let you know what room you're going to. Does make sense, huh? You have the agenda, so that has the rooms on it. Okay. All right. But any questions? Just text. We'll make sure everyone gets to the right place. All right. We'll see you in the big room.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.